It's Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid, the parenting, the zero judgment parenting podcast from the Irishman Abroad Podcast Network. I forgot to say that a bunch of times, but that's the center of what we do here. Tina is here sitting beside me.
Hello.
She's the one with the knowledge. If you came here for jokes, I'm your man. Tina's the one with 20 years of experience in the biz of working with kids with severe behavior issues. There's nothing she hasn't seen. And the zero judgment kind of comes from having lived through a fair bit. We don't really go into what happened to us in the birth of our son, but let's just say it wasn't straight. It wasn't an easy ride. It rarely is for anybody. But
no, we definitely didn't come out at the end of it the parents we thought we were going to be.
Yeah, easy breezy. Don't worry about it. Let him fall.
Exactly. Like
that wasn't us.
No, I thought I was going to be Miss Chill to the Max Mom, but
you gotta let him discover his limits. We were like,
trauma.
Oh my
changes
god!
You.
If anything happens to this guy, if anything else happens to this guy, that's what it was.
It was 2 years of just everything happening to our little guy and just trying to keep him safe.
So this weekend we're headed away to.
We're recording early.
Yeah,
no, we're so recording early.
We'll listen. When you hear this, I'll have run the London Marathon.
Yes. Please,
I'd imagine I'd have won it and I'll have a gold medal around my neck.
You keep saying that.
Can't believe it. Well, people are discounting the idea that I could win this thing.
You could definitely win in your name category.
Yes.
There's only one Jarlath.
The only Jarlath running it. Ramesh Ranganathan's running it too, but there's two Rameshes. So
yeah, I knew there would be more than one Ramesh.
Will he beat this other Ramesh? We don't know. But I definitely beat the other Jarlaths.
Yeah.
It's a big weekend. Last time Mikey came with us, our son came with us.
Incredible help to me.
An incredible tour guide around London. We didn't know exactly how much of London he had internalized.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Turns out he knew all the tube lines.
Everything.
Exactly how to get to Tower Bridge. Exactly how to get back to Buckingham Palace.
He was brilliant. I am going to be lost
without him.
I'm going to be lost. He doesn't want to come.
But it did make me think about how easy you are about going, grand, you stay here and we'll head on. Versus trying to get you to take a night out or even 2 hours without checking on him all the time was very tough. You had PTSD from what you've been through with him.
Oh, like it took me forever to get through it, definitely. I still have moments where I'm back there, but like he's 13 now. But like I think if you ever have the misfortune of holding your baby in your arms and thinking your baby is gone.
Yeah. You don't forget that easy.
No. And especially when you were the one telling people there's something wrong with my baby for weeks.
Yeah.
And everyone going, your baby's fine.
You're over the top.
Oh my God. Because you're sick, you think your baby's sick. No, I really think there's something wrong with him.
We're saying it in that Irish mammy voice, but this was not just...
No,
mammies
that was
in general.
No, God, no. That was the health nurse, the doctor, the head nurse in A&E.
People walking by in the street.
I mean, I brought him to everyone
Postman.
I could bring him to. I really did. You were saying it too? You are. Jarlath, you are.
I was.
Everyone thought I was being
insane.
Because
the night before he had his big hiccup, we were in the hospital.
Yeah, because you had said, okay, let's just bring him in.
Yeah.
For peace of mind. Because I was like, there's something wrong with him.
And I talked you down in the hospital to believing what the doctors were saying.
Well, the doctor said that thing again, which really was starting to annoy me.
Yeah.
You aren't well. Yeah. You're putting your illness on. You're assuming your child's not going to be well. Yeah. I was like,
kind of accusing you of Munchausen's.
Yeah, like, I was like,
all is not well here.
Yeah, and you're so messed up.
Yeah.
You're like,
and you're
maybe
not even really...
Maybe I'm not. And he'd already been really sick. Okay, like it's hard to actually get this out.
Yeah, it's hard to. But the point is that the next day there was two ambulances at the house.
Yeah,
and
we got so
lucky.
We
weren't going to get him back.
And when we got in there, that doctor, she never came to me.
No.
Like the.
I remember avoiding your look.
The scan showed up. He had so much fluid on his lungs.
Uh-huh.
It was a miracle
Tough.
He was breathing at all.
If you've been in a situation like this, this is probably going to be pretty triggering for you. Because
it doesn't even
matter if it's your kid. It can be you.
Yeah.
And they never go, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, I did miss that.
You know what I always say. Like, there he is, our little guy, our little miracle man, 13 years old. We have him. There are parents out there who don't have their babies and I do not know how they cope because I barely coped for years and Mikey was fine.
I always remember you on that first day of Montessori school, sitting in a cafe, looking at a hedge.
I know, if some of the
beyond the hedge was the school.
If the mom and dad's on this,
was like a meerkat at the window, checking in case somehow he emerged through the hedge.
Or if they needed to ring so I could be there straight away.
I'll be there. So she did this for weeks.
Weeks and weeks.
In that coffee shop. Yeah. On the other side of town.
Yeah, I was the reverse of most situations. Our child did not have separation anxiety.
No.
I had it tenfold.
You had it on his back.
And luckily I met Mairead and Emma and they got me to leave the cafe and go for walks into town.
We're kind of like the Mairead and Emma here. We're like the mom gang on some level for the dads as well.
Yeah.
Because some of the emails we've been getting in do cover this, and you've been reading an amazing book about the anxiety within kids themselves.
Oh, yes. This amazing Dr. Mary O'Kane. You guys probably know of her. She's always on Pat Kenny. Everyone seems to love this lady. Mm. I came to know this lady because she started just getting in touch and letting us know how much she was enjoying the podcast.
So she's got taste.
Well, she's got taste, but she also seems to really want to
big up other
buoy
people
up.
Yeah, yeah.
And make the community bigger and help parents know there's more things out there, which I think it's really nice.
Rare enough in this doggy dog world.
Yeah, well, it is rare enough. And you know that I adore Laura Whitmore because she
does the same.
Always making sure that everyone is getting, you know, a bit of time.
Yeah. So what's the book about? Well, I haven't touched it.
It arrived the other day now. I'm only a little bit into it. I've scanned the whole thing. I'm saving it for the plane when we're flying to the
What's
London Marathon.
Called?
It's called Anxious Children in an Anxious World. Now, what's funny about this is my speed reading of every time she put up a picture about her book coming out, I thought her book was going to be about children with autism. I was super excited to read this book about children with autism. And then when it came, I was like, oh my God, Tina, how the hell did you read that title that many times wrong? But I did. But anyway, it's actually invaluable to me because we're all dealing with anxious children, no matter how happy your kid is. Anxiety is a real thing that we're all trying to cope with. And from what I've read so far, she's just putting it out there really plainly and really simple. So it's really easy to understand. And she's put out techniques and just even into why your child, like helping parents understand what is happening, why is this happening at all different ages. And I just think that stuff is just so helpful.
So it's Dr.
Mary O'Kane, An Anxious Child in an Anxious World.
Yeah, there was one line from it that you read out to me about preparing them for the world
and
that's accepting
a quote.
That.
Yeah, that's one of her own quotes, because she uses other people's quotes in the book. But that's one of her own quotes, and it was just, it got me straight away. I actually didn't go to the
book. Resilience in your kid, right? Yeah. That it's not about producing a child that is free from worry, which is just absurd.
It says, sometimes our job is to protect our children from the rain, to be the umbrella providing shelter. But more often, our job is to remind them they are brave enough to withstand stormy weather. I'm already crying.
Tina's in bits. And with that, let's get on with the show. The thing that I'm addicted to watching on Instagram for the past few weeks has been, is my guide to running the London Marathon? What are you going to do? And it just goes through the course and makes it seem like it's a piece of piss, which it's not.
No.
I know what you're addicted to watching on Instagram.
Oh,
it's
no,
the cutest account.
Yeah.
Ever.
Making Millie, oh my God, what's it called? It's a little tiny girl with Down syndrome. She's like 3. And
they're charting her journey.
Yeah.
And it is
making Millie's stones.
Heart melting Instagram
stuff.
Oh my
God. Her mom's amazing. First of all, she was told she'd never walk because of her physical issues. And the mom just did all. I was saying this to Charlotte, like, that mom just did all the exercises every day.
Yeah, that you're meant to do.
And if you repeat, repetition is the key to everything. This child is walking.
What's it called again, the account?
Making Millie Milestones.
Wow. Like, and this thing, guys, get ready to have your heart melted.
And she's also a rascal. Like,
her,
she's a little
is
rascal.
Brilliant.
Like, she's always like messing around, and there's a little baby in the house now, and she definitely knows.
But it's
she's
also
been
really
a little bit rough with the baby.
It's an eye opener, though, for people who, you know, just don't know anything about kids with Down syndrome to see this amazing
that's
character.
The actual essence of the account.
Yeah.
the mom feels so bad about how she reacted when she found out she was having a child with Down syndrome, that now she's on a mission to show the world. And she's also on a mission to stop putting limits on these children. And Millie, this gorgeous little girl, they didn't think she would talk either. And just like, I'm always trying to stress to parents, if you want your children to be big talkers and early talkers, use sign language when they're small. In Ireland, we have the Love. It's an amazingly easy to learn sign language. And, you know, worldwide, they tend to use the Love actually with children with special needs. But it's incredible. And this mom has done that. Using sign language promotes speech. It brings it on. Like Mikey, when did Mikey start talking? I don't remember him not talking.
I think he was born saying, what time is it?
But like, you used to get really like, Tina, come on.
Oh my God, Tina just wouldn't stop yapping to him.
Well, I had set up a little Montessori room in our house and we were doing God work all almighty. The time. I loved it.
The noise from the other room when I was trying to write.
Well, we were doing a lot of painting.
But like, it's worked. The lad can talk for Ireland.
But like, I just think it's an incredible, it's inspirational, this account.
Yeah.
This mom is changing her daughter's life, and she's changing the lives of others, because
Millie's
loads of people are following her and they're seeing, okay, put in the work and who knows what your child can do.
Whereas the marathon is the other way around. You can put in the work and then just get really excited at the start and completely down your arse halfway through.
Millie's Stones, it's called. Making Millie's Stones.
My guys, the videos I've been watching, you guys going, right, first things first, you're going to get down to the cutty circuit. You're going to see all the people waving and cheering. And I would love to see an actual real version of one of these. I may even do it. Where it's like, you're going to be more exhausted than you've ever been in your entire life. You're going to hate running. By the end of it, your nipples are going to be chafed off. And when people shout, go on, you can do it, you're going to feel like telling them to fuck off. You give them a thumbs up, and when you get to the final mile, it's not good enough to have a charity. You need to be able to picture somebody you hate in your head and be driven by rage to finish the race. Or at least that's what worked for me. I'm not talking from personal experience there, but look, we've got to get to this question. Tina, I was onto you before about night training my middle child. I'm looking for you to work miracles again, please. Brace yourself for this one. It's a longie. Middle child, 6 years old, is soiling. We have tried the GP, private doctor, spent a week in hospital where she received enemas daily, taken Movicol stool softener up to 12 a day, taken laxatives to do clear outs, medically advised. She hated it, and we have weaned her off with things actually improving. Ignored the spiking, and she will just ignore the spiking. What's that?
Where does it say that?
Ignored the spiking, and she will just stay in her soiled underwear.
Okay, so she's saying it evened off, and then when they notice the behavior returning, they've just ignored it and left her in her soiled underwear.
Okay, we've been ambivalent, showed anger, frustration towards it, continuously talking to her about this. Any other memories or stresses she may have got one of those worry rings for her to wear, play with. We've shown YouTube videos, we've read the books, we brought her to play therapists and psychotherapists. None of them can get her to open up. There's no trauma there to open up about. We worked with her teachers. She has an amazing teacher at the moment who is trying so hard to get her to talk. We are currently trying to retrain her. So keeping her in for 3 days until she's soil free, then she's allowed play on the road again. She's so annoyed and really wants to go out, but goes back to soiling. No one can get her to open up, and we can all see she is anxious. Goes right back to our book at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Anything she has opened up about, we've worked through. Afraid something will come up the toilet and bite her on the bum. Tina still thinks that. Tina's still worried about that. In fairness, I did once climb inside the toilet and attempt to do that. And that's probably where that trauma is coming from. She's afraid someone will hear or smell her. That must be a common one. That, yeah, like, well, there's a shame to it.
I bet that's from school.
There were kids looking under the door
writing all the time
in school.
Yeah.
Which the teacher has addressed. She is currently wearing a panty liner to give her some protection. She had made huge strides when we insisted she goes to the loo. She will go in alone and push without coaxing. She's wiping her own butt perfectly now. We have deducted that it's all by choice. She has FOMO and won't come in to go. So she's afraid of what she'll miss out during these toilet
breaks. That's actually really brave of that mom to admit that, because most of the time the problem is you can't get the parents to go to, actually, I think my child's just doing this.
It's willful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they will yesterday, look for everything else.
She was having so much fun in the kitchen with her sister, she just pooed her pants. We've tried to explain she misses more time when we have to clean and change her than it would take to go to the loo. That the fun goes with her. And when she comes back, the fun starts again. She's not having it. We are at the stage where we're going to cancel the birthday party, which I really don't want to have to do. She's such a lovely kid. She loves her birthday. I'm sick of being the bad guy. But she also can't keep soiling herself. She's nearly six and the stress is killing me. Kids, I'm afraid the kids will find out. She will get an awful slagging or a nickname that sticks. I mean, well, that's a real concern, right?
No, not at this age, because they're all doing it.
Oh, they're all doing it. You reckon they're all as bad as each other?
Yeah.
All right, please help. Also, we saw you guys in Dundrum a few weeks ago. You have no idea the restraint it took not to give the pair of you massive hugs for your previous help and word vomit all over the above.
Always say hello.
You guys were out with your family. Time is important. Well, thank you so much.
We were probably giving out to our own son in Dundrum. The last time we were there, we were definitely doing that.
Yeah, no. This is the thing. This is a really brave email to send, which I've no doubt about it. There's going to be people listening going, finally, as somebody with a six-year-old who is afraid that going to the toilet, they're going to miss out on the crack.
Yeah, well, like last week we had the same issue, but a different motivations for the behaviour.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this mom has given us so much information that is so helpful for me to know what they've tried and haven't tried. And I know what's wrong. I completely know what's going on here. She is getting too much attention. And especially the negative.
For the soiling.
And it is hard for any parent to wrap their head around the fact that that kid likes it when you're mad at them. They like it because you're looking at them, you're with them, they have them all, you all to themselves. And when she rises you by doing it, she's loving it. And she doesn't need, it's not a conscious thing, but she has her mommy or daddy or whoever is with her talking to her, with her by themselves, and that is how she gets it.
How do you know this stuff?
Well, I can't say 100% I know this because I'm not with the child.
No.
If
that makes total
from the
sense.
Science of this email and everything they've gone through,
because they're so committed,
they're so amazing. These
they're
parents
nearly
are incredible.
Too good.
And I know what I would tell a mom in my class to do, and I hope this will help you, because I haven't gotten back to this mom yet. Because when I read it, I was like, oh, holy God. I was like, oh, Jesus, what do I do here? Because it is hard, because more so that it's not really the child I have to give the advice to. It's the parents for themselves. Mm. From now on, every time she soils, nothing, no words. You take her by the hand. You're not cross to her. Mm. There's no punishment to be done.
It's just silence.
Silence. No eye contact and silence. You bring her to her room. You lay out clothes. You leave the room. She soils. She's nearly six. She's well able to change herself. She tidies up. She puts her pants in the bin. She puts her clothes in the wash. And that is your new routine. When she does it, and if it's hard for you, which of course it is, it would drive me bananas, you count. You count in your head as long as you need to count, because you do not give the eye contact and you do not talk to her She is searching for this one-to-one time, and she's associated it with this negative pattern of her behavior. And what you have to remember to do then is, she doesn't get in trouble for it. It is way worse punishment not talking or giving eye contact to your child. Like, that will really affect her, and I feel bad saying that, but it really will. And hopefully it will get her to stop doing it straight away if you stay strong and do it right.
Yeah, but because it says mom is beyond...
Yeah, it's like, there's nothing there.
Upsetment, yeah.
And also, it's really important then that you do not mention it.
Any of the family?
Nothing. Nothing gets said about it. And when, hopefully, she comes back down and she's doing something else, come in really fast with, I love what you're doing, and give her a hug. You need to associate behaviours with positive things. She'll need affection.
Positive behaviours, positive feedback.
You need to name it and be like, oh, it's good to see you. I'm so excited to have dinner. Let's all have food together. Give us a hug. Don't mention the pooing again.
Right.
Don't even say,
we missed you while you were gone.
God, don't acknowledge it at all.
No.
Because that behaviour needs to be stamped out by her getting zero. Yeah.
So now you're back. Just act like it never occurred.
And if she will push back on this, she will try and bring it up. She will do it again.
She'll do a bad job of cleaning herself up.
She will really try and get you, because she, without knowing it, she is... really searching out for these moments where she gets alone time with mom.
It's tough though, isn't it?
Well, like, I mean, I only feel safe giving that advice because they brought her to the doctor, they brought her to the play therapist, they've really examined every other idea. And the mom has offered up, I really think it's FOMO and stuff, but I really feel like she is loving that time she gets with her mom. And I feel like if she's brave enough to try this, and I mean, hopefully in 2 weeks, this is in the past.
My final question on this is, that's obviously a really powerful tool.
Yeah, but you don't want to misuse it.
It's not specific for a kid soiling themselves long term.
No.
When else would you advise somebody to do something like
only
that?
Only when it's a drastic behavior like this.
Because, like, not going to bed.
Yeah, like, because... It will hurt your child's feelings, and we never want
to
do that. And when you go silent and you don't give eye contact, they're going to really, you know,
accuse you of being mean.
Well, they're going to accelerate their behavior because they're not getting what this bad behavior normally gets them. So now they're going to push it even further. So when you've got to be ready,
you've got to steel yourself
and be so calm. And then also, like I said, find other moments where you can give them hugs and tell them they're amazing and give them the eye contact, and you're retraining your child to search for the stimulus other places. But I know that's going to hurt that child's feelings. But it will work if you do it right. But don't misuse it. Don't be like, you know, don't make it too long. You know, just quietly bring them up to the room. Don't say anything. Lay out the clothes. Do not look at them. Leave the room. She's old enough to figure out. She knows she soiled herself. She can do the rest when she brings in. Even if you have to help her put stuff in the washing machine, do it silently. If you have to help her bin her pants, do it silently. Move on to something else. She does not get attention for that.
Sometimes when I hear you say these strategies that you're using, Tina, I hear you and I go, I wonder, is she using that on me?
I definitely find it easier to do, to use it, my approaches with you than Mikey. You don't?
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Good to know.
You're much more obedient.
Because I started to feel today that you had me figured out. Lead up to the marathon.
I don't have you figured
out. It's normal, I believe, to get a little bit anxious.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit down. And Tina said maybe we should just go and buy these runners.
You really want it.
And I immediately perked up and was like, hold on, phone. Hold on a minute.
Hang on. No.
Do you think you've got me figured out?
That's not what happened. I thought, you know what, you definitely deserve a present for running that long.
Do I?
Yeah, I think so. I would want a present. And I thought, rather than me buy you another print or another jumper that you won't wear,
I do love those.
You should get the runners you want. Those runners are ridiculous looking and expensive.
They are absurd.
They're like,
but I'm going to review them on the Irishman running a rot. I have two pairs of runners in two separate boxes, both of which are big rivals in the running community. There'll be moms and dads listening to this going, I couldn't give a fuck.
Well, I definitely couldn't give a fuck.
For those listening to the Sonia Sullivan podcast, they're going to be excited to hear the comparison between these two ridiculously overpriced shoes.
Yeah.
Can they make you faster? Because that's what they're selling. Super shoes coming up on Irishman Running Abroad. Now back to the questions. This is a follow-up question from last week. We have more information for you guys. Last week we asked this person for more information on their predicament. Here we go. Hi, Tina and Jar. I just listened to the podcast with my question read out. That is a cool moment, I'd imagine. Anytime I had my thing read out on the radio, I was always like, ah, yeah. So hopefully we can get to the bottom of this. Thank you so much for the suggestions. I won't be getting back to you anytime soon with a resolution, though. The children will be at least teenagers probably before I see a result, and hopefully a resolution, please God. So what was this in this case?
This is the parental isolation.
Oh my God, yeah. The parental alienation case, where this mom felt that when the kids went away to the dad, that they were coming back and had kind of been indoctrinated not to like her anymore.
I think not feeling, definitely evidence support. Mm. Yeah.
So she says, I agree that it's a fair possibility that the children might be adding to the stories and comments, etc., that daddy says. Jar asked for examples of the comments. Here's some. These might give an insight into the situation. Each one starts with, daddy says, he doesn't like your eyes, mommy. Jesus. I mean, I can't barely read that. Can you imagine saying that to your kids? Fuck. Daddy says he doesn't like your eyes, mommy. Mm. Daddy says he wants to spend more time with us, but you won't let him, mommy.
God.
Daddy says mommy's bold. I mean, this is like, you mightn't think that that sounds crazy if you're listening to this, but those three there,
well, he's
deep impact.
He's teaching them to not respect or, in fact, like their own mother.
Daddy says to tell you no more hitting me. Daddy says he does not want the Christmas gifts we gave him because he said they were from you and he wants to send them back. Yikes. Daddy says, you're stupid, mommy. Now, I don't know what I'd do in this scenario, but she says, only the last week, my five-year-old said, when we were with daddy, we saw you in the supermarket, mummy. I replied, oh, why didn't you come up and say hello? Her kid said, we were in another aisle and daddy would attack you like before. This was really shocking to hear, discover, as I never have said such a thing with being conscious of not letting them hear about the differences between their parents. But unfortunately, I have to say this comment is very likely to happen as we don't know what way their dad will behave if we bump into each other when out and about. Thankfully, we live an hour away from each other. My little boy also has said negative things about my parents, who have a very close relationship with him and his brother. Thank you for the book recommendation. She says, Don't Hug Your Mother, which was absolutely superb book. She can get on Amazon, written by a close friend of mine. She says, I'm flat out reading and educating, preparing myself, but I really appreciate having these tools. She also says, thank you for sharing another podcast to help our children who are in tomorrow's world, as she says. I have the most amazing counselor, and this is important.
Yeah, so we were worried that she's not carving out time for herself.
Yeah.
And in this email, she luckily is. I'm not sure we should read that, though. It's too personal.
Okay.
But she definitely is making sure that she's taking care, because it just seemed like she was doing so much for her kids. We were really worried for her.
So she says at the end, though, there's one particular parenting course that she recommends. It's called Parenting Plus. It's the one she did, which was free, and it's run by a resource centres, and has been a massive asset. Solo parent or not, this is a gem to cope with little ones, their tantrums, which every child has, let's be honest. really great to hear back on this. But yeah, what do you make of that, Tina?
Well, I mean, I just feel so awful for her because, like, how do you not react to those things? But she has to find it somewhere in herself to just to, when they say things like that, to say, thank you for telling me mommy loves you. Mommy loves your eyes. I love that you love my eyes. You kind of have to make it into a positive without saying anything negative about the father, because you don't want... Those kids are going to grow up and they will quickly realize mommy doesn't say anything mean. It's only daddy who
does
that.
And that's where I was like, when I heard this, I was like, is there any harm in saying when they say something like, daddy says he doesn't like your eyes, saying something along the lines of, well, daddy can think what he likes. But I would never say something like that about anybody.
I think it would be easier for the child if you didn't like that.
Engage in it,
because engaging in it, you are, whether you like it or not, saying something awful about their dad. And they just,
temptation
that is their dad.
To be like, daddy's a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, but that's their dad forever. And look, daddy's already let himself down and the kids will see it. But it's easier for her in the long term if she just goes, thank you for telling me that I love you. I'm sorry daddy said that. Thank you for telling me I love you. And then you just have this safe place with your kids where they know mommy actually doesn't get angry. And they need to get it off their chest. They're horrified.
Yeah.
This is the woman they love more than anyone else in the world.
If you explode, like, you won't hear another one.
No.
Like, you won't actually hear what's going on.
They adore their mommy.
Yeah.
I think it's really sad that the kid knew not to say mommy was there. Oh. So that, to me, shows me that he knows what daddy is doing is wrong.
Mm.
And he wouldn't want daddy to say the things he's saying to the kids to mommy.
Mm. So the Don't Hug Your Mother book that we mentioned there, I did an interview with the two authors of that book.
An Irishman Abroad.
Yeah, and you can go back in the archive if you want to go over to Patreon. It's on there in full. But it's, they detailed how they twigged it years later.
It was a long time.
It took a long time.
But they weren't getting to see their mother.
No, she lost custody.
Yeah.
And they lived with the dad. And it wasn't until they were grown men that they figured out.
It's a very different case.
Yeah. But that book helps an awful lot of people and it's got a lot of.
And also that man himself is helping a lot of people.
Mm.
So there is a community out there. But I just think this mom is amazing. And if she can find it in herself just to not react when the children are telling her, because that safety, that circle of honesty you have with your kids is precious. And like you say, Charlotte, they will stop telling her if they think she's going to react or get angry.
Yeah, I know my suggestion was a bit silly, but I don't know about you saying that, like, you can guide them into, well, we don't speak like that about people here, you know, like, how do you do
but
that?
You can always, you can always do that later. Later on.
Not in reaction
to the comment.
Gotcha.
Also, I think, just one last thing on this, she needs to get a notebook and date it and write all this down. She needs to record it and have evidence if
should it escalate.
And I really think when it's like this, she needs to, it's in her interest to go to the teacher or the principal of her kid's school, because your kids are going to say these things at school. And it will help your teacher know what's actually going on if they're informed, rather than them, you know, calling the two of you in for a meeting and not, and it being really awkward and horrifying for you. It's easy because the kids will say it. They just will.
Well, thank you so much for getting in touch with this email. HoneyYou'reRuiningOurKid@gmail.com is the email address. If you've got anything and you think that maybe this is something they've never had on the show, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate, because regardless of whether Tina's seen the behaviour or been in the situation, we will do everything we can to try and help. Is there anything in that book that you mentioned at the start of the show around playing games, competitiveness and good sportsmanship?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not there yet. I'm only at the beginnings of it.
Like, I'm fascinated by this side of things, right? Because everybody gets raised in their own scenario where the view of playing games is different. And some people, as we can see from five-a-side football, some people get better guidance than others.
Yes, yes.
When you attend a party where a board game is played, you suddenly get a window into the childhood of the person who is trying to crush everyone else.
Yeah, the childhood, but also what the child has been allowed to... Believe. How they've been allowed to behave.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Games in your house when you were little.
Mm-hmm.
How did the game tend to end? How do I put this?
Well, all was well out, apart from if gambling was involved. I've told you this before. Fancy paper. I had very precious fancy paper, as did my sister, as did my best friend. And once the fancy paper was put on the table to make things interesting,
to make games of Monopoly interesting,
went bananas.
I love this so much. Yeah. So you, as little cutie pie Tina with the curly blonde hair, was gambling fancy paper against other girls while playing Monopoly. Care to make this
Cluedo.
Interesting?
Cluedo.
Let's make it very interesting.
Yeah, it was
Teddy bear notepad? Anyone? Yeah. And envelopes. Oh, suddenly things
notepad.
Just got...
Are you crazy? It'd be one piece of paper, one envelope.
What? One piece of... Literally reeling it off a wad.
But you would never, no one would ever want the fancy paper you had if you had others of it. It was your prized ones. The
right,
ones you only had one
single
of.
Sheets.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You would.
I don't know, Tina. I didn't collect fancy paper. Like
I still have my fancy paper. It's upstairs in a folder.
So what would happen when the fancy paper got involved?
Pure devastation.
When you lost.
Yeah, and I was kind of the oldest of the people we were doing this with on my road. Mm. So I would go straight into, this is a bad idea.
After you lost.
Yeah, but after I would always give over my fancy paper in the end.
Well, this question is going to really ring your bell here today. Dear Tina and Jareth, love the show. Hoping you can help me this week. My son is 9. He is generally a great kid, loving and very smart. Sometimes when playing, he will get mad if he or his team doesn't win, will raise his voice saying the game wasn't fair or he wasn't ready, and will end up crying. This is not recurring, it just happens occasionally. On Friday during PE class, he told the teacher he didn't want to be on the assigned team because that team wouldn't win.
Oh, oh, no. Oh no, no,
insulting
no.
The whole squad.
Oh, no.
And later, he didn't want to play at all because that was a useless game and that doesn't teach them anything. Holy moly. I love this kid's moxie.
Yeah.
He said, in front of the teacher and with other students present, raised his voice and ended up crying. Oh. I learned about this today from his teacher and he didn't tell me anything. The child didn't mention it.
So he knows. He knows well his behavior.
So what punishment do you think would be appropriate? That's the first question.
Well,
what's the punishment, right?
None.
How do I support him to control his behavior when he has these strong feelings? Thank you in advance. I hope you are all blessed with healthy, happy kids. What a lovely sign off.
Well, he shouldn't be punished for that. I mean, it happened at school. The teacher had to deal with it. That's done.
Mm.
He hasn't actually told you yet. So he knows himself that's not good behaviour. I would be way more along the lines of go to him and say, sweetheart, we've noticed at home it's hard to play games with you. You get too emotionally involved. And now this week your teacher has had to come to us and tell us that you got like this at school. And we need to talk about this because while we want to keep your spirit for winning alive, we cannot limit other children's potentials. Don't presume to know how they're going to be in this game. Don't presume to think that they don't want to win as much as
you'd say all of this to a 9-year-old.
Absolutely. 9-year-old's so grown up.
Well, is this a question of competitive spirit or is this a question of emotional regulation and maturity?
It's both. Because one of them you don't want to dampen. I think for a little while, and in some schools they're still doing it, sports day, everyone got the medal. And I was like, this is bullshit. What about the kid who's brilliant at running? They get the medal. That's fair.
I'm with you and I'm not with you, right? I'm all for participation medals for everyone. Everyone should go home with a medal.
Nah.
But allow me to finish me feckin' sentence.
Okay, and I will tell you why this is not
everybody
good.
Gets a medal, but the winner does walk away with the cup.
I'll tell you why that's not healthy. Because I have been there for the chats with the kids who are like, you don't even have to try and you get a medal. They're giving out yeah, medals for
well, have
for
you
nothing.
Been there for the chat when the kid that did win the race goes, you guys got loser medals, I got the cup.
No, I've been there where for the kid who's won the race and thinks it's totally unfair that everyone got medals.
But did they receive the cup?
Charlie, it's wrong.
This is
wrong.
My point. It's like, if you some get, school, if everybody gets a t-shirt for going to cool camp, that is not a victory. They'll understand that this is for your participation.
No.
They will also understand, yeah, but there's a podium.
No, I think the child who doesn't get the medal, if they really want one, will work hard and determine to get that medal. But the child who doesn't want the medal isn't going to care about getting the medal or not getting the medal.
And well, I think why can't two things be true at the same time?
Well, I think it's just unfair. And I also think it's dangerous. I think it's unfair in the kid who really tried and practiced and won. And I think it's dangerous for the kids who didn't really try. And then all of a sudden they're coasting through life because they're like, things work out. Mm-hmm. Everything will be okay. Look
you
at
know,
all my
look,
medals.
I, take your
I got
point
those for
on board.
Nothing.
But and you're right. You don't. If this kid is motivated in sports, they need help to channel it. They need help to control it and to use that energy. Because we all remember the kid who went on to be a great sports person, but in their early years, they were just out there to destroy and elbow everybody in the face to win.
And also, like, there is this, it's a really hard one to parent because there is this, there is proof as well that the great sports people.
Tina watched Neil Brennan's stand-up special this week.
And, such a good special.
He said that we're all paying lip service to emotional well-being and mental health, but that all the truly great sports people were all crazy. And look, I don't think that we should even discuss the Michael Jordans and Tiger Woods and Lance Armstrongs of this world, because you're talking about less than 0.0001%. And this is why I'm all for coaching kids with a view to their life involving the sport, not with a view to them making the Olympic squad. That if we're trying to, if your conversation with this kid as a coach, I'm so proud of my coaching this year, but as a coach, I think your conversation with them is you want return business. You want people to want to play with you.
Yes, that is
so
really
want
important.
Kids to come back and go, hey, Sean's cool to play five-a-side with. He doesn't slate the whole team at the end of the match.
Well, that is really
and
important.
Say, you're the reason we lost.
Because this kid is choosing to forgo the thing he enjoys.
Yes. For the win and the point.
And also he's willing to forgo it rather than play with people he doesn't think are at the same level as him. And that is not good. That is really rude behavior. And I think that you're right. The mom needs to say, do you like getting to play these games? Mm. Well, you know, the more you play it, the better everyone will get.
This could be a good opportunity for a role play. Where you and your son, and I love a good role play, not to make the podcast weird, but I think that if he's having difficulty understanding this, and they can at times, particularly at nine, be like, no, but you don't understand.
Yeah.
We weren't going to learn anything. Play it out.
Yeah, play it out.
Let dad be the coach.
Yeah.
Or whoever be the coach. And
girl's
be
gonna
like,
coach his tutor.
Girl's going to coach his tutor. Don't limit me.
So sexist. And
just play the role of a quiet teammate. Let him play the role of a quiet teammate who says nothing. And you be the outspoken one. And see how he enjoys it. I'm not going to play with him. I will lose. This is not a fair team if I'm with this guy.
Yeah. Also, I think, though, this is when the actual coaches
Need to step in.
Mom and dad can only do so much. And let's be honest, sometimes they're the last people the child might listen to. Whereas the coach, his actual coach, has a responsibility to coach now.
Well, I know you have one more brilliant component to your answer on this that I have seen written down, and this is a game changer. You're going to need to come over to patreon.com/Irishmen Abroad to hear the rest of this answer and a chunk more. Every single week, there's extra content on Patreon, extra large episodes. For the price of a fiver a month,
extra,
you get to
extra.
Support the podcast. The creation of our show can't go on without the support of our best members. If you can't afford to do it, you'll be paying for the people that can't. Tina, thanks so much. I'll see you over on the other side of Patreon.
I love you, dear. Thank you.